let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. As children, we are captivated by stories of huge, fantastical creatures such as the woolly mammoth or the pterodactyl. The prevailing wisdom is these species are long extinct. But new evidence uncovered by author Gerald McIsaac cast doubt on these widely held assumptions. Gerald gathered stories from the elders of the First Nation, those who were formerly referred to as Indians, Native Americans, or Aboriginals. First Nation elders provided him with detailed descriptions of six species long thought to be extinct. These species include devil bird, the hairy elephant, wilderness wolf, rubber-faced bear, the lake monster, and Sasquatch. In Bird from Hell, Gerald separates fact from fiction by comparing eyewitness accounts of these species with scientific opinion concerning their identity. His conclusion is that there are huge species and they are not extinct. Gerald McIsaac is a Caucasian mountain man who has lived among the Bird Nations, people of Western North America, for over 30 years. In Bird from Hell, he describes his solitary quest for these magnificent species in the vastness of the remote mountains. The book is written with great humor and documents his battles with scientists and government bureaucrats who insist that these species are extinct. It provides clear, simple instructions for those who are interested in joining the search. Readers are invited to take part in a scientific breakthrough. Back with us on This Week in America, Gerald McIsaac, author of The Bird from Hell, 4th edition. Gerald, welcome back on the program. It's great to have you with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
You're welcome. There is so much to talk about here, and time is not going to do it justice. So I tell you what, I'll encourage you to go buy The Bird from Hell, 4th edition. Book available wherever books are sold at Gerald's website, and we'll give you that as we go through the program. Let's start by the basics here. What inspired you to embark on this project, what you called your little science project? What was the inspiration for? What was the motivation for starting this?
My mother-in-law, who has lived in the mountains all her life, gave birth in log cabins, gave birth to all of her children in log cabins, did not even set foot in town until after the birth of all of her children, spoke broken English, and yet she recognized a picture of an elephant. It was an animal which she had seen in her younger years, except that the elephant that she remembered, so to speak, was hairy, which is the reason they call it the hairy elephant. And I say it is not an elephant at all. It is a woolly mammoth, and they were running from the woolly mammoth in the late 20th century. So that got me started. And then shortly afterwards, a couple of girls from the village approached me, and they said, what about Cindy J? And I said, what? And I said, in English. They said, the devil bird. And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, this evil spirit which flies around in the darkness, hunting and killing people. And I asked them the one question, so simple, so obvious. I said, can you describe it? And they described it, and I was completely shocked. They said it has a head like an eagle. The body is the size of a man's body. The wings are as wide as two moose hides stretched out. The flapping of the wings sounds like dry hide. The tail is as long as a man is tall, and it ends in the shape of an arrowhead. Happily, I was sitting down and they told me this because they provided me with a completely precise, accurate, detailed description of a pterodactyl.
That's just...
And every scientist can hope to meet will tell you that animal has been extinct for 65 million years.
This is so amazing, Gerald's story, and you'll find it in Bird from Hell, 4th edition, Gerald McIsaac. That's M-C-I-S-A-A-C. His website is GeraldMcIsaac.com. Didn't mean to interrupt your story, but people are listening and they're going, I want to be able to read more about this to get a copy of Gerald's book. So the book's available at Amazon, the usual places, his website. Go back and pick up on the story when they're describing this, when it registers what they are describing. What does this all suggest to you?
It suggests to me, and I don't like it, I fought it, for years I fought it, but it suggests to me the fact that the scientists are completely mistaken, and this has been over the last 30 years, I've been doing various research, without getting paid, of course, but I've come to the conclusion the scientists are aware of the existence of this animal, as well as numerous other animals. I read the scientific literature, which frankly contradicts itself. The scientists say that's zero mass extinctions of reptiles. They also say there were 5 mass extinction of reptiles. And I say it cannot be both. And they say the megafauna here in North America, which survived 3 ice ages, which means they survived climate change on numerous occasions, and then they dropped dead at the end of the last ice age because they cannot handle climate change. And I say more nonsense. They say that dinosaurs are extinct. I say no, there was no mass extinction of dinosaurs. I also say these animals, flying reptiles, pterodactyls, are the size of small planes. So for that reason, they can and they are frequently seen on radar. And yet the radar operators are told to disregard these sightings, and they do that because they want to keep working. In much the same way, the bush pilots who fly around these mountains frequently see the woolly mammoth, just as the forestry personnel who fly with them looking for forest fires also see these animals, and they report the location of any and all forest fires, but they do not report the location of any woolly mammoth because they want to keep on working. And yes, that is the sad state of affairs, in which the scientists are aware these animals exist, and yet they remain silent, which I think is terrible because the pterodactyl in particular is a predator. It mainly preys upon girls of childbearing age, because it smells the blood, and children, because children are easier to pick up and carry away. And that is a horrible, sad, sickening fact, but it explains the disappearance of so many girls of childbearing age from open areas in the darkness.
And you've studied all of these extensively. Gerald McIsaac is our guest on the program. His book is Bird from Hell. It's now in the 4th edition. McIsaac is M-C-I-S-A-A-C. His website, GeraldMcIsaac.com. You mentioned pterodactyls. You get people's attention. Sasquatch or Bigfoot, the giants, as you call them, that always gets people's attention. How do you go about proving their existence? How difficult is it to prove they actually exist today?
Strangely enough, it's real simple and real easy. So many people are looking for them, but they're going about it in the wrong way. Now, starting with the pterodactyl, numerous documentaries have pointed out the fact that in the mountains around the world, livestock, by which I mean cattle and horses, are being found in the morning dead and mutilated. That's a polite term, mutilated. And due to the fact that there's no blood around the wound sites, proves that the animal is mutilated after it is killed. And further, the wounds are specific to the face, the genitals, and the large intestine, frequently ripped out. Now, I'm not trying to be crude. That's just a fact. Now, what's happening, this animal, commonly called a dragon in most parts of the world, such as Asia and Africa, and is famous for releasing a cloud of smoke. This cloud of smoke, so-called, is not smoke, but it is toxic, a cloud of poison gas. Now, the animal used this poison gas to kill this livestock, and once it's dead, it goes for the morsels, which it can easily rip out, because the animal is quite light. It cannot tear apart the carcass. So I am suggesting that as soon as the carcass is found in the morning, draw out a sample of blood. The blood is not missing, as so many people swear. It's not missing. It's inside the carcass. Draw out a sample. Send it to a lab. And the lab will tell us the poison gas which was used to kill the animal. Real simple, real easy. And the other thing, swab around the wound. Send a swab also to a lab, because I'm sure the animal left behind some DNA. The lab will tell us there was a DNA of a reptile, one which is not known to science. The third thing is a bit more difficult, slightly. Come up to this village. There is an old logging road within, say, 10 miles of the road, that's or 15 kilometers, if you like. Open up that old logging road, only about 5 miles or 6 or 8 kilometers up that logging road. And it goes after an area is logged out, the road is deactivated. And there are caves in those mountains which open up directly onto that old logging road called the 10,000. I know this for a fact because 30 years ago we were logging up there and my relatives, in-laws, pointed out to me those caves and said after sundown, they said those caves lead directly to hell. And after sundown, Satan opens the gates of hell and turns loose his pets, his birds from hell. That is a common misunderstanding, and I respect the belief of all people, common people, who think this is a demon. I respect that belief. I do not share it, but I respect it. But as I say, those caves are right beside the road, a series of caves. And it opened up that road, placed cameras right by the entrance, and after sundown, we will see those animals coming out of those caves.
It's amazing.
And if people want, go ahead.
No, finish that. If people want what?
If people want to prove they exist without killing one, simply a matter of darting one with some kind of tranquilizer, getting a live animal, and if they have any qualms about killing one of the animals, and you'll have, and for most, many people, they're going to have to put their hands on it. So I am suggesting kill one of them in the interest of science, in the interest of overcoming people's terror of these animals, because they are convinced they are demons, and not just the indigenous people. Though back east around New Jersey, they refer to it as the Jersey Devil. People there, many people also think this animal is a demon. And we have to prove to people, common people, that we respect their beliefs, but if people can put their hands on the animal, they will know that it is not a demon, it is a flesh and blood animal.
Well, and all of this information is laid out in Gerald's book, Bird from Hell. He just explained the background, the reason for that name. It's the fourth edition. It's available at Gerald's website, GeraldMcIsaac.com. Also available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Boy, time going by so quickly and so much to talk about here. I guess an obvious question would be, are scientists aware of this? And I guess maybe you sort of answered that some are, but they like being employed, so they're really not making a big thing out of this.
That is absolutely correct. They know that to even suggest that I am correct is to commit career suicide.
Yes.
Take, for example, the dire wolf and other species of, we call it megafauna, which means huge animal, which supposedly went extinct at the end of the last ice age. The scientists admit the dire wolf still exists, even though they insist it is extinct. They call it a remnant population of an extinct species. I call that hogwash, but that's what it is. In much the same way, Thomas Jefferson, the third president, described an animal named in his honor, the Jefferson ground sloth. Yet even that, they swear, is extinct, even though Jefferson documented the fact that it exists.
Amazing.
The scientists do not dare suggest that I am correct, because I know that their careers will be ruined. And I say that's true. It's also a fact that countless girls, women, girls of childbearing age are being killed by this animal and children. And I'm not so much concerned about livestock, but the killing of women and children. So I say from the bottom of my heart, girls, childbearing age especially when the blood is flowing, this animal is a predator. When it smells blood, it is far more likely to attack. Do not go outside after sundown. Parents, keep your children inside after sundown. This animal also preys upon children. In the darkness, with that huge wingspan, it hunts in open areas. It tends to avoid the light. But if you're caught outside after sundown and you hear the flapping of the wings, or you see it in the moonlight, find shelter, or as a last resort, hit the ground. They hunt us by wrapping their paws around our shoulders, sinking their claws in. Do not make it easy for them. As a last resort, go flat, horizontal.
Okay. Gerald McIsaac is our guest. Yeah, our guest on the program, Gerald McIsaac, and boy, time is going by so quickly. The book is available on Gerald's website, and I'll give you that before we wrap up here. Bird from Hell, 4th edition. I got a couple minutes left. I want to talk about the movie. I know there's talk about making a movie based on this, and I know you're in there fighting every day to make sure this is actual, that there's some credibility to the movie. How does the movie project stand at this time?
Well, I insisted on accuracy. It's a book work of fiction, but it's based on fact, and I insisted on the fact, and God bless the writers. She did just that. So it is absolutely based on fact, and I approved the manuscript. They call it the screenplay. That's the word, screenplay.
Yes.
And the screenplay has been written, and I'm satisfied with it, and I'm not easily satisfied with anything, not with scientific. I'm very high standards for scientific purposes. I'm very satisfied with it. Even I found the screenplay to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to the movie being filmed because it's accurate as well as entertaining.
When do you think when do you think they'll film the motion picture? I know with COVID it's difficult now because production starts and stops, but any anticipation when we might be able to see the movie?
I'm hoping the next spring, summer.
Fantastic.
because I'm sure the screenplay is written, and now it's all it takes is a producer to be. I think it's called. I think they're called producers.
Yes.
Those who, any one of them to be interested, and then they're off and running.
Well, that's perfect.
Also mention, I have two websites. The other is GeraldMcIsaac.club for the purposes of being accurate.
Oh, okay. Okay, we've got those up there, and we'll have that there on the screen so everybody knows how to get in touch with Gerald. I got a couple minutes left here. I know you've talked about the Giants can be seen in the reserves of Vancouver Island, reserves on Vancouver Island. Give me a couple minutes to explain that.
Excellent, excellent. The indigenous people respect the Giants just as the Giants respect all of us. And the Giants are human, separate species of human. They love the same things we love, which includes seafood. So after sundown, the people who live on the reserve stay off the beach, which is when the Giants go on the beach, and that is a time and place we can meet them. We can put out gifts for them, which they love, food and gifts like mirrors and such, burlap bags, which they will find to be very useful. Let them know that we are interested in meeting them, even putting out combs for them. Let them know, because they have no reason to trust us. We have an annoying habit of shooting them.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes.
So let them approach us. Let them know we are bird and friendly. Instead of hunting them, attract them. Let them come to us. And that is the place to do it, where they feel safe on the reserves with the cooperation of the indigenous elders.
There's so much more. We've touched, not even touched the surface. We haven't even got that far. There's so much here in Gerald's book, Bird from Hell, 4th edition, Gerald McIsaac. That's McIsaac. Book available Amazon, wherever books are sold. Another book, and we're showing it on the screen. The video version of this is up on YouTube, our YouTube channel, and you can Google it on YouTube. That's Occupy Movement and the Dictatorship of the Proletariat, and would love to get Gerald back to talk about that. So much there, and so much in this book, hard to absorb everything that we just went across in the last 20 minutes by Gerald McIsaac. Gerald, a pleasure always to have you on the program. Looking forward to doing it again. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
My pleasure.
It is always fun. Gerald McIsaac, the book is Bird from Hell, 4th edition. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.